Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Plumbing Game Studies, a games and philosophy podcast. I'm your host, Graham Culbertson. I've decided, in addition to the longer interviews, to do some shorter episodes in which I talk about something related to philosophy and game studies so that the podcast feed doesn't languish while I'm setting up interviews in future modules. I'm going to call these mini-games, at least for now. So today's mini-game episode is called Mario, Roguelites, and Nietzsche's Eternal Recurrence. This time, instead of doing philosophy of games or philosophy as game, I'm going to do game as philosophy. My goal here is to explain how playing a classic arcade-style game, like Super Mario Bros. Or even Donkey Kong or Pac-Man, is a pretty good way to understand Nietzsche's concept of eternal recurrence, and also to explain to you what a roguelite is, and even though it seems to eternally recur, it's not Nietzschean. So first, eternal recurrence. This is an old idea, at least as old as the ancient Greeks, that everything that happens has happened before and will happen again. The universe and this idea is not progressing to some final Platonic perfection or Hegelian end of history or Christian heaven or Buddhist nirvana. It's just going to happen again and again. And eventually, and I guess forever, it will happen exactly the same way. As far as I know, Nietzsche mentions this idea for the first time in his essay, The Use and Abuse of History. And in that essay, he actually makes fun of the ancient Greek idea that history repeats itself. Here's the quote in Peter Preuss's translation, which is my favorite. Fundamentally, what was possible once could only be possible a second time if the Pythagoreans were right in believing that with the same conjunction of the heavenly bodies, the same events had to be repeated on Earth down to the minutest detail, so that whenever the stars had a certain relation to each other, a Stoic will join with an Epicurean and murder Caesar, and ever again, with a different configuration, Columbus will discover America. Like I said, I think it's pretty clear that Nietzsche doesn't think the Pythagoreans are right. Now, this is my time to break in briefly and say, if you're wondering why the Pythagoreans are showing up as philosophers, well, think about this. This is kind of a mathematical and also philosophical concept. And remember that philosophy until relatively recently was pretty synonymous with what we would now call science. All right, so Nietzsche doesn't think the Pythagoreans are right. I think he thinks history is too complicated and it has too much human will in it for the stars to determine it. But if the stars do determine history, well then, it seems like eternal recurrence is on the table, because the stars are going to swing back around again eventually. They have to, eventually. There are only so many permutations the world can be in. The metaphor I've heard for this is, you know, if you're rolling a trillion dice, the odds that the pattern will recur are comically low. But if you're rolling those trillion dice infinitely, well, that pattern is going to have to recur. You will run out of patterns that do not recur. So either the world has to be destroyed, or the world has to be redeemed, saved, transformed, or eternal recurrence has to happen. When you think about it from these physical terms, those are the only three options. Or as in Christian eschatology, the world can be both destroyed and redeemed. Not long after that essay, The Use and Abuse of History, in his book The Gay Science, Nietzsche returns to eternal recurrence. He discusses the concept much more in Thus Spake Zarathustra, but unfortunately for me, I don't actually like that book that much. But in The Gay Science, which is very positive about science, or again, what we might call not just philosophy, but a rigorous and critical approach to knowledge, somewhere in between what we might call philosophy and what we might call science, Nietzsche tells this amazing story, this little thought experiment. Here is this entire aphorism in the Walter Kaufmann translation, The Greatest Weight. What if some day or night a demon were to steal after you into your loneliest loneliness and say to you, this life as you now live it and have lived it, you will have to live once more innumerable times more, and there will be nothing new in it. But every pain and every joy and every thought and sigh and everything unutterably small or great in life will have to return to you. all in the same succession and sequence. Even this spider and this moonlight between the trees, and even this moment and I myself. The eternal hourglass of existence is turned upside down again and again, and you with it, speck of dust. Okay, this is about half the aphorism, but I'm going to break it and say what I think real quick. So this is the idea of eternal recurrence, and a demon is explaining it to you. Everything, including the exact you that you have been and will be and are right now, will be over and over again. And you are just a speck of dust in this hourglass that keeps getting turned over and falling down and then doing it again. And then Nietzsche tells us in the second and final paragraph of that aphorism how he thinks we should feel about this. Would you not throw yourself down and gnash your teeth and curse the demon who spoke thus? Or have you experienced a tremendous moment when you would have answered him, "You are a god, and never have I heard anything more divine"? If this thought gains possession of you, it would change you as you are, or perhaps crush you. The question in each and everything, do you desire this once more and innumerable times more, would lie upon your actions as the greatest weight? Or how well disposed would you have to become to yourself and to life to crave nothing more fervently than this ultimate, eternal confirmation and seal? All right, so Nietzsche suggests there are three responses to this demon. The first and obvious one, when the demon tells you about eternal recurrence, would be to curse the demon. The second would be to say that this has changed your life, that everything is more important if you have to make every choice valid eternally. So each time you eat breakfast, you get to think, do I want to eat this breakfast infinitely? So this will in some way invigorate, but maybe also paralyze your life. And the third goes beyond this. It says, you would crave nothing more fervently than this eternal confirmation and seal. Why would you want to eat the same breakfast over and over again, unless you're making sure it's the very best breakfast ever, which is that second response? I'm going to try to explain, but first let me go to roguelikes and roguelites. There once was a game called Rogue. It came out, I think, before I was born. I've never played it. And once you went on an adventure, and then you died, because it was hard. You got no extra lives, and so when you died, you started all over again. This is called permanent death, or permadeath. There are no green mushroom one-ups, you are just dead. Even worse, you can't learn the world that you're going to travel in Rogue the way you do in Super Mario Brothers. The levels were procedurally generated. An algorithm made the levels up newly each time. So there was always a new level 1 and a new level 2, etc. Rogue and its close copies, called roguelikes, that's with a K, are clearly eternal recurrence that you can never escape from. Although, remember, the world is different every time, so I don't think this is that great of a metaphor for eternal recurrence. But I'm not that interested in roguelikes right now. I'm interested in roguelites. Light with a T, as in light whipping cream. Not like with a K, as in do you like them. Now, roguelites, with a T, let you get better each time. Not just better with your skills, but actually your character can get better and stronger. You unlock special abilities, or you unlock new items. Each time you die, when you come back and do your recurrence again, you are a little stronger. So in roguelites like Slay the Spire or Hades or Into the Breach, every time you go through the cycle again, things are a little bit better. The goal, of course, is to beat the game, to complete the cycle. But then, of course, you can play it again. But when you play it again, you've unlocked a new mode or unlocked a new achievement, or maybe your character has gotten a cool new outfit, which is the game's reward for you completing the cycle. My point is, in roguelites, there is eternal recurrence. Your little character or spaceship or whatever dies and has to start over. But it's not like Nietzsche's eternal recurrence. For one thing, just like with Rogue, the world changes a little every time. It's not exactly the same. And secondly, you can in some way transcend the cycle in a roguelite. You beat the game. Your character gets stronger. You escape into nirvana. You're making a progress to a goal, a telos. Everything is moving forward, even as it's going in a circle. And that is just not what Nietzsche is talking about. He is not talking about making progress. He is talking about experiencing life over and over again in exactly the same way without progress. Always exactly the same. And I take this to be Nietzsche's ultimate affirmation of life. If you wanted everything that was happening to happen to you over and over again, you would have to be crazy. In fact, the only reason to want to live life over and over again, with all of its wonder and horror, all of its misery and joy, is if you could do it better this time. And that is not what Nietzsche is arguing. This is not the slow grind of the soul towards improvement. This is neither the liberation from the cycle into nirvana or the teleological journey of the cycle into something better. Nietzsche's eternal recurrence is life, all of it, being lived over and over again. You should want to live all of it again. The pandemic and the deaths of your loved ones, all of your worst miseries over and over again, as well, of course, of all of the best parts, like playing Chrono Trigger for the first time. Because if you don't want to live it over and over again, was it worth living the first time? It's either worth doing, life is, or not worth doing. It's not only worth doing if you can get it right. So the eternal recurrence of rogue lights isn't much what Nietzsche is talking about at all. What's like Nietzsche's concept is playing the original Super Mario Brothers or Donkey Kong. The game is exactly the same every time, and frankly, you can do things differently. You have agency in games, that's what games are. But you're not trying to do things differently. You're trying to do the same thing. Exactly the same thing, so that you don't die. Except for the part where you do die, which you would like to do differently, but if you're anything like me, you usually don't. Yeah, Mario, I guess, doesn't suffer permadeath because there's extra lives, but don't worry, you're going to lose them, and you're probably going to die in the same spot. You are not going to beat Super Mario Brothers. You are not going to beat Donkey Kong, unless you are some legendary, like, Olympics-level player of 80s video games. So when Nietzsche says that you should be willing to live your life over and over again, even though you know it's never going to get better, that's no different than saying that it's fun to play Super Mario Brothers or Battletoads, even though you're never going to beat it. You should be willing to play it infinite times, even though you will never really do it differently, and you will never progress like you can in Slay the Spire. And if it's worth playing infinite times, surely it is worth playing once. And that is what I think Nietzsche's eternal recurrence is really about. Since no one knows exactly what he's really on about. If it's worth playing Super Mario Brothers 1,000 times, with the same experience every time, it's certainly worth playing it once. And Nietzsche is saying thus, no more and no less, that life is worth living. Simple, boring, majestic life in which sometimes you press the jump button and you fall down and die anyway, is its own version of eternal recurrence. And if you get to own an NES system and play Super Mario Brothers over and over again, you will still want to do it even though you always die. But if you are playing Super Mario Brothers at the Target display and your mom is going to pull you away from it at any second and you'll never play it again, it's still fun. It's still worth playing. You don't have to hope that you'll get better at Mario to want to play it. And you don't have to believe that life is going somewhere better to want to live it. And that is why Nietzsche's eternal recurrence is like Super Mario Brothers, and roguelites are a version of eternal recurrence that is looking for progress or escape. There is no progress or escape in Super Mario Brothers. You are going to fall down that pit again and again, and it is still worth it. All right, that's it for this minigame episode of Plumbing Game Studies. Remember, the unexamined game is not worth playing.